title of my sermon this morning is America, Her Great Needs. And you could sum it up in one thing. America needs God.
Amen.
Okay? And we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 through 34. And before we read God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity, Lord. Open Your Word. And Father, to see its truth. Father, I pray that You take away all distraction. Father, that Your Holy Spirit will have full reign. And Father, we will truly understand the freedom that You give us. Lord, I pray that You just help us, Lord, that You will supply all of our need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, I just ask that You just help us, Lord, to pay attention, Lord, and that we leave this place changed. Father, be with our country. Father, keep it free, Lord, the way You intended for it to be. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text this morning, verse 26 of Proverbs chapter 14, it says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, today and all through our history, there have been people that think that they know what America needs. They know what our country needs. Back some 200 years ago, a group of men said, "We need freedom." And they thought that that ideal was significant to fight for. And they wanted freedom to have our own country and freedom to get out from British rule and from the rule of King George, because it wasn't representative government. And so they said things like, "Give me liberty or give me death." And they had this ideal of freedom. And, you know, at that time, I think America's never been closer to that ideal than what it was then. Now today, people say, "We need freedom to do this, and we need freedom to do that." And the problem is that many think that what they want for America is right. The nation of Israel was delivered by God. They clearly had to see God's blessing as He parted the Red Sea and provided water in the desert and food in the desert and defeated their enemies and parted the Jordan, and they come into the Promised Land under the guidance of Moses and then Joshua, as you've been studying in Sunday school and here in the morning. But it's an interesting thing, as you go to the book of Judges, it says that there was a generation that knew God because of the generation outlived Judah, Joshua. But it said there arose a nation that knew not God. And it says here in Judges chapter 17, verse 6, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And basically says, we have a right. We have the freedom to practice whatever we believe. Well, that's true, but the point is that you need to put God in this. You don't have a freedom to basically say that your way is the only right way and my way is wrong. there's only one true lawgiver, and that's God. There's only one truth, and that's absolute. And we need to live under that knowledge. Today, instead of saying, give me liberty or give me death, they say, give me liberty so I can do the things that cause people to die or to cause the way of death. They believe that they have the freedom to do anything they please. That was not what this country was founded on. The Bible says this. Now, I will admit that I don't think that all the founding fathers knew Christ, but they knew the principles of God. And God says in His Word, He says, my Word will not come back void. You do things a biblical way and God's going to bless it because He has to honor His Word. We saw what the Babylonians did, what Nebuchadnezzar proclaimed, and what kings did, and that they followed what God wanted them to do, even though they may not have had a relationship. But the right thing was done. And so here's the point. There's people today that say, I have the freedom to do anything that I want to do. I could do anything contrary to God's Word. God gives us a free will. But that's not the way the nations are supposed to go. That's not the way our culture is supposed to go. That's not the way our churches are supposed to go. That's not the way Christians should go. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul writes to this church, and he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, to do the things that you want to do, but by love serve one another. There are people today that think that they have the liberty to take innocent life in the womb. That's wrong. You don't have the freedom to choose. God gave you that life. There's people today says, I have a freedom to do whatever lifestyle and to be whoever I want to be. You're who what God makes you to be. And you can't change that. There's people say, well, I could do this, it's my choice. But when God says things are sin, sin is sin. Amen. Period. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what? Love, serve one another. You know, you want revival in the church? Love God. You want peace in our country? Love God. You want to get rid of injustice? Love God. And do things His way, and all this would happen. But everybody wants to do what's right in their own eyes. America has great needs. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, we've seen on the TV about people expressing themselves and vandalizing stores and doing crimes. They have freedom to express. No, they don't. We need to love one another. We need to be the servants of God. We need to get back to some biblical principles in our lives, in our churches, and in our country. In a couple of days, we're going to celebrate the 4th of July. The 4th of July commemorates the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And basically, everybody has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you know something? That was just one event. And that declaration didn't give them freedom. It just said, we deserve freedom. We're going to strive for freedom. A year earlier in Lexington and at Concord Bridge, there were battles between the British and Americans. And then why did they fight for? They wanted freedom. In October 1781, there was the Battle of Yorktown. And everybody said, well, that's the end of the Revolutionary War. No, it's not. No, it's not. The fight just kept on going. That's when Cornwallis surrendered, and that when the major part of the British force was made ineffective. But there were still British forces everywhere. And over the next 2 years, there was skirmishes and there were garrisons of the British moving out after Cornwallis surrendered. There was another battle. In August of 1782, and anybody from Kentucky would appreciate this. This is the only major revolutionary battle in Kentucky. It was the Battle of Blue Lick, where British forces and Indian forces under the command of a guy by the name of Caldwell met American forces under the command of a guy by the name of Colonel Todd, and he had a lieutenant colonel that was his like executive, whose name was Daniel Boone. Name was Daniel Boone, and they fought this battle, and they lost. The Americans lost. Here's a battle after Yorktown that we lost. And folks, there's when we have this fight for freedom, you will have victories, and there will be defeats. And the Revolutionary War didn't end until September of 1783 with the Treaty of Paris. And so we need to understand that just writing down words doesn't end anything. Declaring freedom doesn't mean having freedom. It means that you just want it. The fight for freedom precedes and follows until victory is finally won. See, I'm so glad that God wants us to have freedom. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to win the battle past, all the spiritual conflict in the Old Testament, to win the battle present, and to win the battle future. Folks, just saying something doesn't mean that you get it. Just saying something doesn't mean that you're part of that. You have to put action. You know, we need to realize that God has blessed America, contrary to what a lot of people say. But we are straying away from those principles. America has produced more missionaries than any other country in the world. America, we have the freedom to worship God. And I thank God for that today. Amen. And I hope that America stays free till Jesus comes.
Amen.
But you know something? But America is still in peril today. The battle for freedom still goes on. America has great needs. And this morning, I want to share three great needs that America has. The first one is America needs deliverance from her greatest enemy. If you watch the news, there's many enemies that threaten our country today. You know, it might be, if you're looking in a military sense, it might be China. And I think that that's our biggest adversary. And I'll tell you right now, from my experience in the military, we train to those enemies. We train to their tactics. We train to their technology. I hope it never comes to that. But there are real threats out there that don't want to see us exist. You know, there are the freedom of the national debt. Our national debt could wreck our financial system. But that's not the true enemy that we have. There is the freedom, there is the enemy of all these other cultural and social issues that go on today. They're not the true enemy. They're just symptoms. God identifies our true enemy as Satan. And all these things come because of that. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground?" And then look at the next phrase. "Which did what? Weaken the nations." See, America needs deliverance from her greatest enemy, Satan. And Satan has large strongholds in our culture today. He has strongholds in our churches today. He has strongholds in our life today. And he definitely has strongholds in our country. See, Satan has specific actions to weaken a nation. The first thing is he discounts the importance of God's Word. And I will tell you right now, you don't hear God's Word as freely given today as you did 50 years ago. Amen. Satan wants to take it and twist it and say what was wrong 50 years ago is right now, even though the Word of God doesn't agree with that. Remember in the Garden of Eden, Eve was tempted by saying, "You will not surely die." In the wilderness, Christ was tempted by Satan, and he used Scripture and he distorted Scripture. He put him up on the temple pinnacle and said, "If you be the Son of God, cast thyself, for he is written, he gave his angels charge over thee, so you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Satan is in the world, is in the way of distorting today. And I don't think anybody would sit here and say, "Well, that's not happening." You have to admit it. And we are becoming weaker because of it. America needs deliverance from her greatest enemy, Satan, because he discounts the importance of God's Word. He discounts the reality of God's judgment. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes, "Let's eat, drink, marry, for tomorrow we'll die." That's the idea of a lot of people today. Let me just do what I want. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, Paul writes, he says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." See, if Satan weakens our nation, God's Word is no longer important. If Satan weakens our nations, God's judgment is no longer important. And we will do things contrary to the Word of God. He distorts the value of God's blessings. I think the greatest example is in the nation of Israel. God delivers Israel from bondage in Egypt. They get to the Red Sea, something that they can't deal with. And Pharaoh's army is coming. And he stands between the two as a pillar of fire. He parts the Red Sea to allow Israel to go through. And then he closes Red Sea and Pharaoh's army is destroyed. They get out in the wilderness and they run out of water. And the waters were bitter and God made a way to make them sweet. Later on they run out of more water. And water comes out of the rock. Then they run out of food. And God gives them manna. And he gives them quail. And then they get to some enemies. And God helps them conquer the enemies. And then they get to Mount Sinai. And God starts saying, "This is what I want you to do. These are the laws." He calls Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai for 40 days. And there's fire and smoke on the top of the mountain. And the people got restless. And the people got anxious. And they said, "Well, now Moses is gone. Now what are we going to do?" And folks, given the choice, what would you do? Would you do the right thing or the wrong thing? Well, they did the wrong thing. And so they come to Aaron and said, "We don't know what happened to Moses." So Aaron said, "I have an idea. Give me all your golden earrings. Give me all your gold. And we'll make some idols." And in Exodus chapter 32 verse 4 it says, "And he received them at her hand." And look at this verse. "And fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" Today, our country thinks, "These are our gods, not this God." America needs deliverance from the only God that can give deliverance. Satan distorts the importance of God's Word. He discounts the reality of God's judgment. He distorts the value of God's blessing and basically says, he displays in front of us the so-called benefits of sin. Folks, some of these things happened thousands of years ago, but they are relevant today because we're in the same boat. America is weakened by sin and needs God. In Psalm chapter 33, verses 11 through 12, it says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And folks, that's not a politician at the end of the speech saying, "God bless America." Those are just empty words. For God to bless America, people in America need to do what God wants them to do. Amen. And not what they think is right in their own eyes. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. We need to understand that we need deliverance. Maybe some of you today here are experiencing the same thing. You need deliverance from Satan's attacks. You need deliverance from the sin that's encasing your life and enslaving you. God has an answer. It's called His Son, Jesus Christ. But America's great need, the first one is America needs deliverance from her greatest enemy. Secondly, America needs Christians to be righteous. Amen. It says in our text, verse 34, it says, "Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness lifts up a nation. Righteousness takes them out of the darkness and puts them into the light." Christians today are us. Today, we are the godly remnant. In Romans chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace." If you've experienced God's grace and salvation, you're part of that. We can be part of the solution. We can be part of meeting America's needs today. America needs Christians to be righteous. There is value that righteousness brings to a nation. The first thing is it brings wealth and blessing from above. He's the God of all blessing. He's the God of all riches. He's the God of all grace. He's the God of all glory. He's the God of all mercy. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2, the Bible says this, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Christians today, church today, believers today, listen to God. America needs you to do that. Amen. What does our righteousness allow to happen? It can withhold the judgment of God. You go back to Genesis, and you have the story of Abraham and Lot, how they separated ways, and Abraham went to the plain and Lot went to Sodom. He stayed on the outside and then he goes inside the city. And then God says, Sodom's got to be judged. And he comes and he says, "I want to tell Abraham what I'm going to do." And Abraham now finds out that Sodom, where Lot lives, is going to be judged by God. He's going to destroy it. And Abraham comes up to God. He says, "Would you destroy if there's 50 righteous people in the city?" And he said, "I wouldn't destroy for 50. And then he says, "Will you destroy for 40? He says, "I wouldn't destroy for 40. "Would you destroy for 30? He says, "I won't destroy for 30. "Would you destroy it?" In Genesis 18, verse 32, he says this. And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak ye this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." Folks, there's more than 10 in this church this morning. Yeah. And folks, if we do righteousness, we can withhold the judgment on our land. Right. If we would just do the right thing. See, America needs Christians to be righteous because it brings wealth and blessing from above. It withholds the judgment of God. And then thirdly, it withholds the rise of the Antichrist. It's happening today, folks. Christ is coming back.
Amen.
The Antichrist may even be out there today. I know the spirit of the Antichrist is. The working of Antichrist is. The culture of Antichrist is. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." It was working back in Jesus' time. It was working back in the Old Testament time. It was working back in the new, in the church age time. It says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let." Christ is, God is still sovereign until he be taken out of the way. That can apply to the church, folks. If it applied to Abraham and Lot and Sodom, it can apply that because God's word doesn't change. America needs Christians to be righteous. It can bring wealth and blessing from above. It withholds the judgment of God. It withholds the rise of the Antichrist. We need to do righteousness before it's too late. In Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" It said, "When the wicked reign, the righteous mourn." Folks, it's time to do what we're intended to do. It's time to do what we were created in Christ Jesus to do. It's time to help our country. Just do the righteous thing. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3 says this, "Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." We need to do righteousness before it's too late. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and" what? "Heal their land." America needs that today.
Yeah.
You want to be part of that process? If you don't want to be part of that process, you don't have the love of God in you. If you say, "Well, I want to do it this way." No, you do it God's way.
Right.
America needs deliverance from their greatest enemy, which is Satan. America needs Christians to be righteous. Lastly, America needs salvation and Jesus Christ alone. It's a good idea to have a good military, but it's not going to save us. It's a good idea to have a good financial system, but it's not going to save us. Folks, what we need to do is truth. What we need to understand that we are a people in need of God. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, John sees a picture of the throne room in heaven. And it says here, it says, "And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." We need to understand the scene in heaven and the reason why they were there. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God redeems individuals. He redeems people groups, and he can redeem a nation too. America needs salvation and Jesus Christ. You know, this was also called the land of opportunity. That's why people want to be here. There's a lot of people that say, "I don't want to be here anymore." Well, that's because you want it your way. We need it God's way. This is the land of opportunity for the gospel. This is where we can practice faith freely. It's a land of opportunity for the gospel, to hear the gospel clearly. And we need to be that light. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted after ye" what? "Heard the word of the truth." The gospel of your salvation. "In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Folks, we have churches on a lot of street corners in America today. But what are those churches doing? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are they doing what they want to do? See, some churches need to understand that they have an enemy, Satan. Some churches need to understand that they need Christians to do the right thing. We need to come back to our first love, as Christ told the church at Ephesus, which is proclaiming the gospel. We are in a perfect opportunity and in the right country to do it. There are countries in this world today where we can't do what we're doing here. You can't talk about Christ. You'll be thrown in jail. This is a land of opportunity to hear the gospel clearly. Are we making that opportunity available? It's an opportunity to heed the gospel in practice. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 says, if ye continue in the faith. It saddened me that Rick Sutton's mom's church left their denomination because they were agreeing with the homosexual agenda. And said, we're not going to have that. And they left the denomination. And they threatened all sorts of action against them. But they were successful. Folks, it's a fight. Amen. This fight. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, and every one of us in this room that believes in Jesus Christ, has him as Savior, we're ministers too.
Right. Amen.
And we have a tremendous opportunity to do what we're supposed to do. America needs salvation in Jesus Christ. What are you doing about that? It's a land of opportunity to herald the gospel without fear. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And John writes in 1 John chapter 4, he says, There is no fear in love, for fear hath torment. He that is perfect in love hath no fear. What we need to see, and what our country needs to see, is the eternal value of salvation. Remember, the writers of the Declaration of Independence basically put down on pen and paper what people had been doing for a year prior. But they were words, but they meant something. Folks, we have the Word of God. Does this mean something to you?
Amen.
This is what America needs.
Amen.
Needs deliverance from its greatest enemy, Satan. We need to do what this word says, because America needs Christians to be righteous.
Amen.
We need to do what the Scripture says. Christ says, search the Scriptures, for in there you have eternal life. Those Scriptures speak of me. It's a fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says this. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Folks, it's time to band together and witness for Christ.
Amen.
It's time to do good and not our own thing. It's time that we go beyond just making a declaration. We made the declaration of our faith, but we're not there yet. We're not in heaven yet. And Paul says, as much as is in me, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Folks, is that your desire today? You know, there's two things that could happen. America be lost, and that would be a great tragedy. All the things that we've worked so far for God could be taken away. There's the tragedy of America being lost. there's a greater tragedy of people who are lost in America not knowing Christ because they've never heard, they never see, and they don't know. That's our responsibility. Our country needs deliverance from Satan. Our country needs those that believe in him to do the right thing. Our country needs Christ. Let's stand.